RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Midwest correspondent is Carrie Cox of TravelsWithBirdie.com. Carrie is a librarian and passionate reader, writer, and photographer who loves to travel in her Jayco travel trailer, aka Birdie. After only spending a few short weekends in Birdie, Carrie and her family decided to take an epic road trip from Missouri to Yosemite National Park. Her blog posts were nothing short of stunning.
Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hello.
Great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, last time you were on episode number 10, you took us to Rancho Sedona in Arizona. Where are you taking us to this week?
I'm taking you to a Missouri favorite, Bennett Springs State Park in Lebanon, Missouri.
All right, and let's clarify for our listeners. It's Bennett Spring, not Bennett Springs, right?
That's right. There's just one spring there, and it's one of the largest in Missouri.
All right, don't miss Google.
I've heard it's a common mistake, though, to call it Bennett Springs.
It is. It kind of blurs together.
So. All right, we're all about accuracy here. We want to get those facts straight before we dive in. Yes. All right, so like we always do for people that may not be so geographically familiar with this area, tell us where it is, orient us a little bit.
Sure. Lebanon, Missouri is very close to Springfield in the southwest corner of Missouri. And even though it's close to Springfield, it's still only a three-hour drive from St. Louis or Kansas City. It's a little more centrally located, making this a destination for people all over the state. The highway I-44 goes across the middle of Missouri, and people will turn off that interstate, take the country roads to Bennett Spring, and you'll drop down, and you just kind of know you're entering someplace special as you enter the Niagara River Valley. There'll be sometimes mist rising off the creek in the morning or at dawn, and the fishermen and women line the banks, whipping their fishing poles through the air. So it's a really beautiful place.
So this is a really popular RV destination for people in your state?
Yes, it is. It's one of only three trout parks in the state, and I think that's even a draw for people outside of the state because some states don't even have these trout parks, so it's kind of a specialty.
How far away is it from you?
It is an hour north of Springfield.
Okay, so this is really like your local, this is a local campground for you.
That's right. This is a great weekend trip.
All right. So now it's a state park. Tell us a little bit more about the size of the campground.
It's pretty large, but it doesn't feel that way because the campsites are divided among five different camping areas, and four of those are up in the woods. So you feel like you're tucked in and you're not too large.
Now, do you want to tell us more about those different areas?
Yes. So when you go to Bennett Spring, you really have to make a decision because there's two very different types of campgrounds. Campground number one is the one with the full hookups, which is awesome and great, but it is a little more of the parking lot style campground. So you're out in the open, not as many trees. Definitely would be great for big rigs, though. This would be the place to go. And the other benefit to campground number one is that it's a lot closer to the creek. So you can hop on your bike or walk down to the water right from campground number one. But our favorite is actually on up and campgrounds 2, 3, 4, and 5 are up in the woods, and they're up a really big hill. Like, you're not going to be walking or biking up and down that hill because it's really steep and it's really heavily trafficked. I guess some people do walk, but it would be a pretty far drive. This is a huge state park. So those campsites are beautiful, though, because they're in the woods, you're in the trees, and the sites are really spread out. So you kind of get your own little piece of the woods.
But is it so steep that someone with limited mobility might not want to camp up there, or is it not that steep?
Yeah, once you're in your campground, it's not steep. It's just from the campground down to the creek is. So most people from those campgrounds, you drive down to the creek.
Gotcha.
Now, yes. What about towing your rig up to those sites? Does that get hairy at all?
I think on their website, they do have a warning about it. So I think depending on your setup, you would definitely kind of take that into consideration. And then the only other bad thing about the sites up the hill is that they are electric only. So there are water spigots in the camping areas, and there's restrooms with flush toilets. And the bathhouses were really clean when we were there. So you lose your amenities, but you trade it out for the beauty of those trees.
It's kind of an interesting combination. It's almost like a part public campground, part private campground in a sense.
I could be wrong, but I think they added campground number one later, you know, after lots of requests for maybe full hookups. So that's kind of my guess.
How much are sites at this campground?
Well, with it being a state park, they're very reasonable. It's $20 for electric only, $28 for the water sewer electric, and there are basic tent camping sites for only $13. And I think those are up in the campgrounds 2, 3, and 4. And the only other fee, there's an $8.50 fee if you book online. So that kind of, you have to figure that in.
$8? $8.50?
Yeah, and that's for booking online or for changing a reservation.
Okay, so what is the other option besides booking online?
I think the message there is don't book online.
I know. That's a hefty fee. So the other option is to call?
I think so, which we booked online. And so I don't know for sure if you can call, or they have some of the campgrounds are no reservation. So when we went, we booked several weeks out because we were going in the fall when the trees were beautiful, and I knew this was going to be a popular time at the campground. And so we booked out several weeks in advance. But once we got there, those non-reservation campgrounds did not look full. So I think Brett had mentioned that about Dinosaur Mountain, that, you know, you kind of feel like you need to have these reservations so you don't lose out. But then once you're there, there are spots.
Carrie, so. You're an all-star because you listen to our other podcasts.
I do.
You're not like a prima donna. Like, I just listen to the shows I'm on.
Yeah. No, and we've said the same thing about Turkey Swamp Park, too, which we reviewed. It's hard because we've never seen it all the way filled up, but you still feel like you have to make that reservation. It's like we hate to risk it, you know?
Yes. So I think next time we might would risk it, especially since we're only an hour away. So if something, you know, if they were totally booked, we could like cry and go back home. But
All right. So now you said that the bathrooms were acceptable.
Yes. Yeah.
Any other amenities that you want to mention?
When we were there, the Wi-Fi was also acceptable, which my son has a pretty, you know, my sons have a pretty strict, you know, sense standard for that. So it was functional while we were there, which was good. I think that the boys, they did discover that the closer you were to the tower, the better it was. So there was part of the day when our children went and sat on a bench outside of the bathhouse so they could use the internet. And yeah, we let them do that.
Yeah, so. Carrie, we're not going to lie. We've done that. We've sat in some pretty weird places in campgrounds. I mean, it's just the way it is.
So it's kind of, we're striving for that balance. We took them away from the Wi-Fi and got them on the creek for most of the trip. But yeah, we let them touch base with their electronics.
Our kids have never even watched TV, Carrie. They don't know what TV is.
Oh, please. All right. Yeah, so any other amenities?
Sure. They have a pool. I think you pay a small fee to use that in the summer. There are playgrounds there, right? They're pretty close to the creek. So the nice thing is if you're there with your family and you have some members who are fishing and some who aren't, you can hang out at the playground and walk around. There's an on-site dining lodge that's really beautiful. It was built by the CCC in the 1930s. And so that's a nice place to hang out too. And then the fishing store is really well stocked with kind of everything you would need to fish at Bennett Spring, and it has some snacks and groceries.
So is there a lot of day traffic, too, in terms of, like, it's not just people there who are camping, but, you know, lots of people just coming in for the day as well?
Yes, yes. Well, that's, you know, mostly how we were familiar with Bennett Spring before we got our own camper. So we would just drive up there and spend the day.
Now, the pool, is it generally pretty crowded with day, you know, visitors, or does it okay.
It looks like it's a pretty trafficked area. But there's also in the area, so since this valley is the Niangua River Valley, a lot of people leave the park and go get on the river. So that's a great thing to do. We have a favorite swimming hole called the Moon Valley Access Point, which is managed by the Missouri Department of Conservation. So one summer we went and just parked up there, and you could set your chairs in the creek and let the boys splash around. It was really perfect because the water wasn't too deep where we were, and they could really get out and play. So I think sometimes people go and do that. You can't get in the water in the park because that's protected for the fishing, but I think you can easily leave the park and go play.
So how far away was that swimming hole to drive to?
Not far. I think it would be maybe 10 to 15 minutes from Bennett Spring, maybe even a little less.
All right. So any, you know, it sounds like this place is all about sort of the surrounding beauty of nature. Is there hiking?
There is. And so there's a lot of short trails that you can walk along the creek. But one that I've never gotten to do that I really want to do sometime is a 7-mile hike to a natural bridge. I've heard that there are really beautiful views along there, kind of that you overlook maybe some rolling hills, and then you walk through some of the wooded areas before you get to this really big natural bridge. So there's a lot of that. There's a hatchery there where they're raising the rainbow trout that they stock in the creek. So it's kind of interesting. You can go feed the fish and see them. They have them sorted by size, so you can see all the different size fish along there. And there's a nature center with programs, too.
So tell us a little bit more about the programs, because I'm assuming that's pretty much the scope of the organized activities at Bennett Spring.
Yeah, that would be the main thing. I think one summer we went up and we sat in one and learned about some of the local Ozarks animals. And they have a nice, it's not a huge center by any means. But again, if you're not fishing, it's something you can do to get away and do something different.
Any other activities in the park, or is that pretty much it?
And I forgot to mention, they rent canoes. So you can actually rent a canoe there in the park to get onto the Niangua. So even though the river access where we went to is a little bit away from the park, there in the park you can go on down and get on the river. I kind of misspoke about that, but it's there, right there too.
Now, I have a question for you here. Yes. From someone who has minimal fishing know-how, do they give lessons here? I mean, is that part of the programming at this park, or do you just have to kind of know your thing if you're going to come here and participate?
Yeah, you probably want to mostly know before you go. There, I asked my husband about that last night. He's the fisherman expert, but he said that they do offer some lessons there, but they are a little pricey. But he learned to fly fish on his own. But then when he gets there, he likes to talk to the guys in the shop. And outside of the park, there's a couple of fishing shops, and they'll always tell you what the fish are biting on and sell you the different lures. So you kind of have to know what you're doing, but there's a lot of people there willing to help.
So Russell has to love this place, basically. I mean, it sounds like a great camp. If you love to fish and you have an RV, this sounds like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, he worked in that town 1 year, and there were times when he claimed he had after-school meetings that I really wondered if he was sneaking away to Bennett Spring.
You heard it here first, people.
Yes.
Marital confessions on Campground of the Week.
Carrie, if your husband's sneaking away to do a little fly fishing, there's worse things, right?
Yes. That's right.
Let the man fly fish. All right. Now, let's just make sure we covered everything that you want to say about the sites. You did tell us all about the lower sites being more open, the upper sites being more pretty and wooded. Do you want to give any more specific recommendations for sites, or just stick with campgrounds 2 through 5 and you'll be fine?
Yes, we stayed in campground 4 last time and just couldn't have been happier. We had one of the outer loop spots, and just, you know, we were right there in the woods. So I think that's a great spot.
All right, campground 4, nice and wooded, nice and secluded.
Electric only.
Electric.
Yes.
But with a dump station, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
So we've complained before about the size of our tank. So if we were staying there a week, we would have to leave camp to go dump difference. Right. Sounds really nice. But yeah, we'd have to break camp. Go.
These are the realities of RVing, Carrie. There's no shame here.
Yes.
We all have to pull that trigger on the black
tank. That's right. That's right.
We all don't.
Oh, yeah, true.
I've never done that.
Stephanie
before.
Knows it's back there somewhere.
It is. Yep, that's how I am. I'm going to keep it that way. I figure the more things I can play dumb on, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
I think most guys secretly like to empty the black tank.
In this modern day and age, it makes you feel manly.
It's just a quiet little piece, you know, a little peace and quiet away from the kids.
All right. So any other insider details that we haven't covered, Carrie?
I really want to send a shout out to this campground for being just like that classic campground experience. So on our road trip to Yosemite, we stayed in lots of different campgrounds, and we were kind of so busy that we really didn't get to just hang out in the campground and build a campfire and relax. And this is the kind of place where you can go for that kind of true campground experience. There are families and friends who have annual trips where they meet at Bennett Springs or have their family reunion there. And it's just that kind of place that people come back to and make it a tradition.
So is this going to be like a place you guys go to every year, probably for at least a weekend?
Yes, we have another. We live fairly close to one of the other trout parks, which is called Roaring River, which is further southwest in Missouri, a little more than an hour from home. So it's also beautiful. So I think we can alternate between the two and keep it interesting and beautiful places.
Okay, so can you just tell us when you normally go? Do you go in the fall, in the spring? Is it someplace that would be a little too hot in the summer, maybe?
That's right. Missouri is kind of humid sometimes in the summer. You know, we get in the 90s and sometimes over 100 and it can be humid. So that's why I really like to escape to the mountains whenever I can. So we enjoy Bennett Spring more in the spring and in the fall. And the fall is, of course, a particularly beautiful time. The trees are all different colors, bright yellows, bright reds. I think there were some of the giant sycamore trees, and they reflect in the water. And up at the source of the spring, that water is just this beautiful, brilliant blue that you just don't see very many places. So it's a magical time to be there.
Sounds like a good campground for photography as well.
Yes. Yes.
So you can see some of your pictures of this campground on your blog, travelswithbirdie.com, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Really pretty pictures.
We'll link to that blog post in the show notes.
All right, Carrie, we don't like this part, but we got to do it. Nobody's perfect. Is there anything that this campground could really just invest a little bit of effort and improve on?
Well, I really wish they could just combine campgrounds 1, 2, 3, and 4 and have all of them have all of the things. So short of that, I do think if they could get maybe water ran to each of the sites up the hill, that would be a little more convenient. And of course, if they could get sewer, that would be amazing. But I understand that's difficult.
Right. So Brett and Carrie both requested water.
Yes.
You guys are going to have to pay more than $20 a night, I think.
I think I have like a 15-gallon water tank, so it goes fast.
It goes fast, and we have a bigger tank, and it doesn't last long for us either. Okay. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for that great review of the campgrounds at Bennett Spring in Missouri. We are going to be back in a minute, and we are going to hear about all of the activities and the great things to see and do around the campground. Stay tuned.
Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here with Carrie Cox from TravelsWithBirdie.com, and we are talking about Bennett Springs State Park. We just had a great review of the campground, and now Carrie is going to tell us about some things to do in the area. Welcome back to the show, Carrie.
Thanks. Hi.
All right, so obviously the number one attraction for this area is fishing. Now, you're going to have to school us on this whole thing because we don't know so much about it. All right, what is there to do in the fishing department?
Okay, so Bennett Spring, of course, is named for the spring. And trout, rainbow trout, are a fish that needs really cold water. So the spring provides that cold water as it runs through this little creek through the campground. And as far back as the 1900s, trout were first stocked there. So trout, these rainbow trout aren't native to Missouri, I'm guessing from my husband's education that he's given me, but they aren't native to Missouri. But in the 1900s, they realized this water would sustain them, and they started stocking them. And in 1924, they made Bennett Spring a state park, and it was developed more in the 30s. As I mentioned earlier, the CCC came and built several structures, which remain today. So there's a lot of character in the dining hall and this arched bridge and all of that. So this has remained a popular place ever since the 1920s or even earlier. But at the hatchery, they raise these fish, and every night they go and stock them in the creek, and then the next morning, bright and early, it might not even be bright, it seems like it could even still be a little before the sun comes up, you'll hear the opening bell, and that's the starting bell. And so the fishermen and women will start whipping their fly rods through the air, and I've never been there for that, but my husband loves it. He said it's just the most exciting time because the fish have been in there all night, they're hungry, they're eager, and so you can snap them right up. But we don't keep our fish. A lot of people, you know, keep them and cook them. We're not very good at deboning them and all of that part. So my husband just likes to do it for the fun. But there are people who will catch them and keep them. And so you have a 4-fish limit. And once you have your 4 that you keep, you're kind of done. But my husband doesn't keep them, so he can fish all day long because he catches and releases.
And can you find someone at the campground maybe to cook them up for you, Carrie?
We haven't tried that, but there are private trout parks around where people do pay. I mean, you pay a ton by the pound, but you catch them and then they will fillet them and cook them. So that does exist.
Just happens around here when you go fishing out in the ocean, right? Right. We live on the ocean. When you go out on one of the charter boats, you come in, they clean up all your fish real nice for you. So just enjoy the good part eating it, you know?
Yes, yes. So it is delicious. One time when my husband and his brother were first learning how to fillet them, they ended up with trout nuggets, and they brought them home. I was like, I don't think this is what these are supposed to look like.
Aww.
So, yeah, but it's okay. None of us, I can't give my husband too much of a hard time because I'm not into that either.
Okay, so you don't feel like you're missing out too much. And he's enjoying himself, so everybody's happy.
I was going to say, we're coming up on opening day. March 1st is the traditional opening day for trout season. So this is a local holiday. It's a really big deal. It makes the evening news. They'll send newscasters out to show how the whole side of the creek is lined with fishermen. And then the ones who have the waders, they can go in the water. So you'll see them out in the water. And it's kind of like a frenzy on opening day. So that's one of the days you might not want to go unless you're really into fishing, because on that day you don't really see the beauty of the creek.
Is the campground also opened March 1st?
Yeah, I don't think all of the amenities are quite up. It looks like some of the campgrounds have certain amenities. It kind of varies a little bit around the campground there.
Does Russell go for opening day?
We're usually in school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He doesn't play hooky for that.
Russell doesn't get a stomachache on that day?
He doesn't. He's been tempted some years. And it's interesting with Missouri weather, because opening day could be snowy and in the teens, or it could be like 70 degrees and be like spring. So there's definitely some opening days that are better than others.
Well, it sounds exciting. And when I try my hand at fly fishing, that sounds like a pretty nice place to do it.
Yes, and I did let my husband show me how to do it last time we were at Roaring River, because as we head out west, I know Wyoming has lots of really neat trout fishing areas, so I kind of thought I would give it a try too. So he's definitely the expert, and my son and I are learning a little bit about how to do it. And it is kind of fun, it is kind of relaxing, something different that I'd never tried before and finally thought maybe I should learn a little bit about.
Yeah, there's always room to learn something new. And then, you know what? Let it go.
Yes.
If you don't really like it,
and
that's
then
okay.
You can head over to the Route 66 Museum. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I know we sound like we're Route 66 fanatics. I think it was because of the Cars movie. My son, that just resonated with my older son, Ben. It came out when he was six, and he was obsessed with it. So we learned a lot about Route 66. But one year, we took the old highway from our hometown up to Lebanon. There's bits and pieces that kind of cross and crisscross over the interstate. And in Lebanon, there's a local library that has a Route 66 museum in it with a replica of one of the original hotels from St. Louis and a gas station and lots of memorabilia. So it was kind of a nice little place, not huge, but a nice little place to get out, stretch your legs, look around and learn a little bit.
All right. So you mentioned Springfield. You said it's about an hour away. What should people look to do when they're in Springfield?
Springfield's most popular attraction is a little different than you'd find in other towns, but the Bass Pro Shops, the founder of that is from Springfield, and he opened the first Bass Pro Shop Outdoor World in Springfield. So that's the number one draw in our town. It's not just a store, though. It's a little bit more of a museum. There are taxidermied animals everywhere, kind of with water features running through the store. There are huge fish tanks with all different kinds of fish, and they do live feedings where scuba divers go in the tanks and feed the fish. So it's kind of an interesting thing in and of itself. And they're working on opening a big museum next to it. I don't think they're quite there yet, but it seems like they're getting really close.
So if you're camping at Bennett Springs State Park and you're just kind of passing through and you're a fisherman, like that is totally worth the day trip just to go there, I would think.
That is. And I really think a lot of people do take the time to do that when they're in the area, especially if they don't come through Springfield very often.
Kids too enjoy that. It's definitely.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So you see all kinds of pictures of the kids with the giant bear and all that. So I think there's even live ducks inside there. At least there used to be. There might not be anymore. And it's just kind of a little bit different kind of store, but it's neat to see.
All right. So what are we going to eat? I hear that there may be something that is particular to Springfield or this region that we need to try out when we're there.
That's right. So if a Chinese restaurant and an Ozarks cook had a love child, it would be Springfield style cashew chicken. So way back when in Springfield, one of the Chinese restaurant owners decided to take some fried chicken nuggets, which are kind of more of the Ozark style of chicken, is to fry it up. You know, you like your things fried around here, and put some of the cashew gravy on it. And thus Springfield style cashew chicken was born. So it's the chicken nuggets, the cashew gravy with some actual cashews and green onions. But this is a huge deal in Springfield. So there are tons of Chinese restaurants, and this is what you order when you go to the Chinese restaurant. I'm sure there's other things on the menu, but I've never had any of them.
So this is like the cheesesteak to Philadelphia, the pizza
right.
to New York.
That's right. And it rates, like, I'm sure, right up there. It is really good. I mean, it's one of those things, once you eat it, and especially if you've grown up eating it, you have to have your cashew chicken. Anytime anyone moves away from Springfield, when they come back, they come to eat cashew chicken.
Are you suggesting the craze has not swept across the nation?
Maybe not. I don't know why, but it's really good. I think if you tried it, I think it would spread more.
All right. Now, it's obviously something that is all over the place there, but do you have that one spot that you just love there, cashew yeah. chicken?
That's right. So really fairly close to Bass Pro Shops is a place called Triple Eights. And I hear they also have really good authentic Chinese food. So if you're into the more traditional things, they would also have those there. But they just have their chicken is the freshest. It doesn't have, you know, too oily of a taste or anything. And their crab rangoon is really good. So that's our favorite. Triple Eights in Springfield.
All right. Well, it's on our list now. And I'm going to go and I'm going to look in Road Food and see if they have any cashew chicken listed in there.
I bet you they do. That's so interesting.
If it's not, it should be.
Anything else that we have to do if we're visiting Bennett Spring?
I think in Springfield, the other popular thing is Fantastic Caverns. It has a drive-through. You get on a Jeep, Jeep-pulled trailers, and they'll drive you through the cave. So that's kind of a popular attraction in the area. But back in the Lebanon area, the float trip is kind of the big thing to do. So one thing I did want to warn your listeners about is the Niangua River is pretty, but on weekends it can be a little crazy. So it can be a place that attracts people who are going for a really good time on the water. My husband went one holiday weekend and he said it was kind of like Mardi Gras on the river. So when he and his brother, they really like to canoe, they go farther away, way out into the eastern part of the state to some of the less crowded rivers. But this is a popular thing to do. And if you're there midweek and it's not, you know, heavy canoeing with crazy people, it is a fun thing to do, is to hop in a canoe. And that's a great way to really get to know the Ozarks, is from a river.
So I'm sure the outfitter companies, they drop you off at one place and pick you up at the other. So you just get to kind of go downstream, right?
That's right. Yep. And it's a great ride.
All right. Good. Anything else, Carrie, or will that take care of us?
I think that's it. It's, like I said, Bennett Spring is just a really special place. I think it's a kind of place that people go back to again and again and can make a family tradition for learning to fly fish. Probably lots of people have memories of their dads and grandpas teaching them to fly fish. And there are women too. I shouldn't leave them out. But I think it's just that kind of really great classic state park campground that's a great place to visit.
Yeah, it sounds like a slice of Americana camping when you describe
it. Sounds like camping 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I'm ready for a Missouri road trip.
That's right. That's right. And cashew chicken.
Yeah.
And I know who my tour guide's going to be.
That's right. Well, come visit us anytime. We have a really long driveway. We can just park you in the driveway and you'd have plenty of room.
All right, great. Thank you so much to Carrie Cox from travelswithbirdie.com. You can also find her on Instagram. And also thank you to our sponsor, Jayco. To view their complete line of RV, head on over to jayco.com. Carrie, we'll see you at the campground.
That's right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.